presence in London today in the wake of yesterday's fatal terrorist attack at London Bridge. The assailant was shot dead by police. Usman Khan had served 6 years of a 16-year prison sentence for terrorism. He was paroled in 2018. Here's AP's Zaria Shackley.
Two people were killed and three wounded in the attack. Neil Basu, London's police counter-terrorism chief, said 28-year-old Usman Khan was attending a program that works to educate prisoners when he launched Friday's attack, just yards from the site of a deadly 2017 van and knife rampage. Basu said the suspect appeared to be wearing a bomb vest, but it turned out to be a hoax explosive device. Police said they were treating the stabbing as a terrorist attack and were not actively looking for other suspects. Health officials said one of the wounded was in critical but stable condition. One was stable and the third had less serious injuries. Zaria Shackley, London.
British Prime Minister Boris Johnson today had more praise for members of the public who clearly saved lives when they intervened yesterday. London Police Chief Cressida Dick voiced appreciation as well.
In those terrible, terrible events of yesterday, I am just astonished to see what members of the public did, showing incredible bravery, coming together, helping the police, responding to every instruction. So extraordinary courage, really quick thinking from all sorts of people, and then amazing compassion.
The former head of the National Counterterrorism Security Office in the UK, Chris Phillips, questioned why the attacker, Usman Khan, was on parole.
I think the bigger scheme of things here, we need to re-look at the way terrorist prisoners are dealt with and how they are put through the criminal justice system. At the moment, they're being treated like normal prisoners. They are not normal prisoners.
More news at voanews.com. From Washington, this is VOA News. In the Netherlands, police are searching for a suspect who stabbed three young people in a Friday evening attack in The Hague Central Shopping District. The victims, all minors, have since been released from the hospital. The incident occurred just hours after the terror attack in London, and Dutch police say they're considering all possibilities, including terrorism. In Iraq, Parliament meets tomorrow in emergency session. Topping the agenda, Prime Minister Adel Abdul Mahdi's resignation amid weeks of deadly street protests, which have cost hundreds of lives. Meanwhile, the violence continues with at least three more protesters shot by security forces in the city of Nasiriyah, where more than two dozen were killed on Wednesday. With last weekend's success at the polls in Hong Kong's district elections, pro-democracy activists say it is time for the government in the Chinese semi-autonomous territory to pay more attention to their political demands. Many rallied today for what they call a fight for freedom. Student activist Jack Wong through a translator.
This is the first rally I joined after the district council election. I want to come out and tell the government I'm not satisfied with the current situation. Although the result of the election is very good, only one of the five demands was fulfilled. So I want to keep going out to the street and tell the government we are not satisfied, along with people here, secondary school students and the elderly.
Ahead of the United Nations Climate Summit in Madrid next week, demonstrators in Asia and Europe have been calling for more urgent action aimed at global warming. Case in point, Australia, where people are blaming climate change for an epidemic of raging bushfires. Here's correspondent Phil Mercer in Sydney.
Demonstrators have called on Australia to end its use of fossil fuels. That in the short term appears unlikely. Coal generates most of the nation's electricity, and exports pump billions of dollars into the economy. Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison is an ardent supporter of the coal industry. He castigated local council leaders for linking the deadly bushfires with climate change.
That was Phil Mercer in Sydney. North Korea, with apparent sarcasm, says it may soon launch what it calls a real ballistic missile in the vicinity of Japan. Pyongyang has carried out 13 rounds of short-range or medium-range launches since May, the latest this week. Experts say nearly all involved ballistic missile technology. Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe condemned the latest test as a violation of UN resolutions. But the official Korean Central News Agency today condemned Abe's statement, saying the Thursday test involved a multiple-launch rocket, not a ballistic missile. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un has set a year-end deadline for the United States to offer concessions in nuclear talks, which are in a long-running stall. More news at voanews.com. Gene Randall, VOA News.
Voice of OAA 1, the voice